Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. I want you to succeed as a small firm architect. I want you to have the money you need to live the life you want. That's why I decided to give away one of our best digital courses, Profit for Small Firm Architects, for free. For more information and to gain unlimited free access right now, go to entrearchitect.com/free course. This is Entree Architect Podcast, and you're listening to episode 156. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. This week, I have another great example of an architect pursuing his dreams, following his passion, serving a market outside the traditional architectural design firm business model, and building a successful company. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, The Architect Specialist, with Alan Stein of Tanglewood Conservatories. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by NCARB, helping architects reach their goals. Explore your options today at ncarb.org. And True Style, the leader in high-end architectural interior doors. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/truestyle. And FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage your expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. Alan Stein, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to have you here today. You're the owner and co-founder and director of architecture at Tanglewood Conservatories. You're a recent sponsor, and I appreciate your support of Entree Architect. You're based in Baltimore, Maryland, and you're an architect turned entrepreneur, which is why I wanted you here. I wanted to have you come share your story and kind of give us an idea of what it's like to be an architect and then have an idea and an inspiration and a passion, because I know you have a passion about what you're doing. We've had conversations. I met you originally in California, in Sonoma, when I was at the CRAN Symposium this past September. You and I sat at the same table for breakfast, and we introduced ourselves, and you started telling me your story, and I got inspired, and I saw your passion. And I think we connected really well, because I think you also felt my passion about what I'm doing with Entree Architect. And so it was exciting to sit with you and hear your story. So I wanted to get you here on the show so you can share your story and maybe inspire some other people. But before we do that, before we get into that, I want to hear your origin story. I want you to tell your story about, you know, where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and then that journey from that point forward to where you find yourself today with Tanglewood Conservatories.
Sure. For me, it started fairly early. As a kid, I loved building things. My dad had this great workshop down in the basement. I would build things. I'd build them out of metal, out of wood, anything I can think of, always cool projects. And I also liked to draw. I remember my mom had enrolled me in some anatomical drawing classes. And I just loved the idea that with a pencil and paper, I could bring life to something on a page. And that was really exciting. So it wasn't until much later in my life that I became a craftsman. And I did a lot of woodworking. I worked in home construction business and some cabinet making. And I got to the point where I recognized that although I had a skill as a craftsman in terms of making things and building things, even artistic kind of things, I recognized that there was a design side that I lacked. I'd been hanging around with some friends who had been through art school and were doing some really cool printing and designing. And I recognized that that was a side of my skill base that I did not have. And so I decided to pursue that. And I went to the California College of Art, started out with design. And about 2 years through that program, I realized that as much as I loved the work I was doing in design, I also loved the building, and the natural marriage of the two was architecture. And I decided to change course and go into a traditional architecture program. So went through the professional program at University of Maryland, graduated with a degree, went to work as an architect. But I soon found that I was not really satisfied doing the traditional architecture path because I liked making things myself too much. So after a few years, I decided to jump out and kind of go non-traditional. And I went to work for a design build firm, kind of saw their business model, recognized that it was something that I could adopt and do myself, launched into that, and had a fairly successful design build firm. Until one day, a client showed up and showed me a picture of this beautiful English style conservatory and asked if we could design and build one. And being an entrepreneur, I never would say no to anything. So I quickly said, sure. And we wound up with the contract to build that room, at which point my partner, Nancy, and I had to work really hard to figure out, okay, we've got the job. Now, how are we going to actually build this thing? So we actually, first thing we did was hop on a flight over to England and do a lot of on-the-ground research, came back, did a lot of design work, figured it out, did the project, which came out beautifully, very successful project. And the funny thing was, no sooner had we finished that project when another potential client asked us exactly the same question. So
had they seen the first one, or it was just a coincidence that you had two clients ask for the same thing?
Completely coincidental, or not coincidental, as depends how you look at it. We finished that project, and when we did, we decided that there was probably a pretty good business need here, a market niche. There was no company in the U.S. that was doing an adequate job designing and building conservatories. All the product coming from UK was kind of backyard, shed type of stuff, construction, really not at the architectural level that I knew as both a craftsman, as an architect. So we decided that there was an opening in the market, and we decided to rebrand our company, jettison the design build, except for the conservatories, and go hard after that. And that was about 25 years ago. So we have built the business steadily from there. We, in the very beginning, started buying parts and pieces from off-the-shelf manufacturers and gradually vertically integrated the company. We now have about 40,000 square foot on the eastern shore of Maryland, where we do virtually all of the design, engineering, fabrication ourselves. We have our own in-house installation teams. We've done projects from locally to China and Africa. So we've been very, very happy. We have a great team, and we're really excited about the future.
So are the conservatories, are they prefabricated? Are they designed and built at your facility and then shipped, or are they built on site?
They are prefabricated, because the construction of a conservatory is completely different than typical stick framing. So with stick framing, you would build a solid wall, and then there would be an opening in that wall into which you would put a window or door. With a conservatory, the structure of the windows and doors actually is part of the structure of the conservatory. So it's a completely different way of thinking about design and building. So we do prefabricate in our shop. We build large wall sections, roof sections, knock them down, put them on a truck or in a container, and ship them anywhere across the country or around the world, at which point our assembly teams would arrive on site and do the installation.
That's fascinating. Could you go into the organization and the structure of the organization and how that process works from design through fabrication through construction?
Sure. Most of the time, an architect or a client approaches us with an idea. If it's an architect, usually they've got some sketches, some design ideas, and we have a design department, so we're able to take the architect's design and his concept and apply the specialized knowledge that we've gained over the years. So usually I find one of two things. Either the architect or designer has conceived of something which is very complicated and in a lot of ways unbuildable, and then our task is to, without losing their concept, bring it into the realm of what can be done within budget as well. So that's one side of the business. The other is when the architect comes. And this is probably the more frequent scenario. So architects not knowing in depth about conservatory design and construction don't realize all the dimensions that their design could take and all the options that are available for them. So there, it's taking their design and sort of enhancing it and maybe suggesting some additional features or some additional design directions. And it becomes a very collaborative process. Either way, it's a collaboration between ourselves, the architect, sometimes the builder, sometimes the client is involved. And we will usually go through a process of conceptual design and design development as sort of a precursor to the actual construction documents and the manufacturing documents. And we don't do that until everyone is in agreement with what the design looks like and what it's going to cost, because budget is a very important part of every one of our projects.
Who's your typical client? Is your client typically the architect, or is it the homeowner?
I would say most of the time it's the architect. Mm-hmm. The architect has been contacted by the owner. Perhaps they're building an entire new house. Perhaps it's a renovation. But there's always other work involved. And so we're brought in to do the conservatory piece. It could also be a greenhouse, a swimming pool enclosure. We also do some very elaborate custom skylights and lanterns, from classical to very modern designs. And once again, normally I find that the architect is just not aware of the capabilities and the possibilities, And so it's a bit of an education process as well as a design process.
Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entre Architect. We could not be doing this without them. NCARB, True Style Doors, and FreshBooks. Do you know someone in your firm who's always dreamed of getting licensed, but was unable to complete the experience requirement? Well, maybe that person's you. Well, now you or they can get back on track with NCARB's new AXP portfolio. With this option, seasoned professionals can complete the Architectural Experience Program, the AXP, formerly the IDP. That's what we used to know it by. It's changed. It's new. You can now complete the AXP by submitting an online portfolio. Along with meeting your state's education and examination requirements, the portfolio will help you or your employees get one step closer to becoming an architect. Learn more about the AXP portfolio at ncarb.org/entrearchitect. Have you ever gone back to a completed project for a visit and found the doors sticking or the seams splitting and a very unhappy client? I've been there. We are in the client happiness business here at Small Firm Architects, and when a piece of our project fails to perform, especially one that our clients see and use and touch every day, it makes us look bad. Well, True Style will make us look good. And True Style is passionate about providing us Small Firm Architects with the inspiration and the tools to transform our designs with the most authentic and distinctive doors available. With more than 400 made-to-order styles, True Style offers beautifully stable, premium MDF doors for painted applications and 20 standard species of wood across all architectural categories from traditional to contemporary and everything in between. Every True Style door is made to order. True Style, driven by design. Visit TrueStyle.com, that's TRUSTILE.com, and start designing your doors today. 192 hours. That works out to about 2 business days per month. If you're an architect using FreshBooks, that's the amount of administration time that you could save in 2017. That's time that you can be spent doing the things you love, like being an architect. FreshBooks is so fast and easy to use that it changes the way we deal with our paperwork. FreshBooks has been completely redesigned from the ground up and custom built for the way that we work. With the new projects feature, we can share files and messages with our clients and our contractors and employees. With the new notification center, it's sort of like a personal assistant. You'll always know what's changed in your business since the last time you logged in. So when you're ready to give FreshBooks a try, go to freshbooks.com/architect and sign up for your free 30-day unrestricted trial. You get the whole thing for free for 30 days. And get the simplest way to be more productive, more organized, and most importantly, get paid faster. Go to freshbooks.com/architect. That's freshbooks.com/architect. And be sure to enter Entre Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Let's go back to when you first started the company and those first two projects. So you have this design build firm. So first you started as an architect, and then you sort of saw that your strength was construction. It was the passion was construction. So let's merge the two and do this design build company. And that was working. And then you get these two projects for conservatories. What inspired you at the time to abandon the company that's been feeding you and your family to start a company that's very focused on one specific niche and really focused? I talk about target markets all the time here at Entre Architect, and that's why I want to bring this up. Why did you abandon what was feeding you for something that was so specific?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the answer is probably because I'm crazy.
That's a great answer.
You know, if I had a lot of sense at the time, you know, I probably would not have done it, but I loved these rooms. The more I got to know these rooms and the more research that that we did on the conservatories, particularly the old historic ones, I absolutely fell in love with these. I thought that these were the coolest spaces around. Having all that glass up in the roof and having that beautiful structure that was so expressed, the structure on these rooms is the major design element. And I just love that. And I love the fact that in the middle of the winter, you could grow an orange tree and you could have tropical fruit in these rooms. And there was a wonderful history that as I got to know, I just, you know, this was just something that I fell in love with.
And you could become the best at it. You could become the, you know, the expert, right? So when you focus on something that specific, you can become the authority in that piece of the business, right?
I think you have to love what you're going to do to be really successful in it. You have to have a passion for it to be really successful. And I think that that's been probably the driver of the success that we've had. We tend to attract people who are passionate about these beautiful buildings. We've had people call us up. There was one fellow who called us up from Canada. He'd been surfing on the web, found our website, and was so impressed with our work that he called us up and he said, I want to come work for you. Can I? And we did hire him. So the other people here, we're a group of very, very passionate folks, from the craftsmen who do the work to our design team and our engineering team and the people who work on the project management side.
What would you say is, you know, you said when I said what inspired you, you said that maybe you're crazy. What were some of the biggest barriers that you experienced when you first started?
Well, undoubtedly that conservatories were not known much on this side of the Atlantic at that time. So it was a very, very young market. And so we were kind of brash to step out there. As we found some measure of success, the competition from the UK became very, very fierce. I think at one point there were five or six or more companies that were all trying to sell their product to a fairly limited sized market in this country. And we had to compete against that. And these companies were from England, the mother country. People at the high end of the market tended to like product coming from overseas. There was some kind of aura about it that maybe a U.S. company didn't have. So it was a bit of a marketing challenge for a while in the beginning. Interestingly enough, I don't think any of those companies exist anymore or are certainly servicing the U.S. market. So I think our passion has sort of won out.
And that's, you know, sometimes that's the answer. Hard work and perseverance, right? You have to outlive the competition. And just do it better than they do. So you become the preeminent brand.
The other thing that I think has been a foundation of our success is our willingness to think outside of the box. Early on, we recognized that there was a sort of typical conservatory image that came out of Europe, and we started to push that envelope very, very substantially. So we started to work much more with steel and introducing steel structures into a wood room, or doing interesting work with copper or bronze and incorporating those into the designs, or bringing back the technique of lapped glass glazing. So we were always looking for something that was cool, you know, and that we would become passionate about these things. And so people would come to us and they would say, I remember there was a very interesting project we did for a gentleman outside of Boston, and it was a greenhouse, and we did this really beautiful design for him that used some techniques that had not been used before that I had ever seen. one of them was the lapped glass glazing. And he, before he would sign up for the project, he said, Alan, this is great, but I'd like you to give me some names and phone numbers for some people that you've done similar projects for that I can go look at them. I had to say to him that I can't do that because, well, in reality, this is the first time we're ever doing this. But at the same time, we do this on every project. In other words, yes, there are many things on this project that we've actually never done before, but on almost every project that we do, there are things that we have never done before. And so we have developed the awareness and the systems to allow us to successfully pursue new technologies, new design features, and be able to pull it off on a single job, on short order. Many of our projects have been done like that, and we have some very, very unique design directions that we've gone into.
Do you think that you being an architect and coming from the architecture world first, before, you know, becoming an entrepreneur or even a builder, do you think that there's an advantage to that? Do you think that some of your success or specific turning points were the result of you being an architect first?
Oh, absolutely. Because I was focused on design, and our entire team is focused on design, I think that's driven a lot of of our success. It certainly has differentiated us in the market between companies that strictly manufacture. For a typical manufacturing company, really the bottom line is, you know, profitability. With us, it was always, yes, we have to be a profitable company, but we're trying to do beautiful design work. We're trying to do great design work. So design is foundational to who we are, and doing a project that's, there have been times when we've, you know, sacrificed potential profitability for the sake of great design.
An architect through and through.
Yep.
And I would say that probably your the fact that your target client is an architect, architects probably appreciate that the company is led and driven by an architect, that you have that architect mindset, which is different, which is unique than any other profession in the world.
Yes.
Architects and you, you know, use that in your marketing, right? So it's an architect owned company. So I think I wanted to bring that up because I wanted to inspire some other architects who have these ideas, that may have this passion to take the leap, and start something that's not the traditional architecture design firm. I want to inspire and encourage architects to do things beyond the traditional role of architects. And so I like hearing that, your story. Was there a point, that went from startup and struggle and, you know, to sort of get to a more successful company? Was there a specific turning point? Was there a big win that you had that sort of, you can identify that this is what happened that sort of turned it from this startup struggling company to a more successful, more established company?
I don't know if I'd say that there was one point or one project. I think it's been a gradual path. So as we've developed the steel side of our business, that's been a huge help. Yeah, I think it's just been a lot of small steps have made it possible.
What does your team look like? How big is the company in terms of people and you know, the different positions that they have?
Yeah, well, there's 30 of us in-house, and then we've got a lot of outsourced partners. So we've got a much bigger footprint than it actually might seem. We've got our drafting and engineering staff. I think we've got 6 people there. We've got 2 other designers, and then our production teams are probably 15, 16, production, and then we've got outsourced folks that we use for some of the installation and some of the production of parts. And then, of course, there's an administrative side of the business.
Yeah, yeah. Alan, thank you for sharing today. This is this has been a really interesting conversation, and I appreciate you for joining me at Entree Architect Podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, for the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun to share, and I hope that my vision and my experience can inspire other architects to do things that they might be passionate about but are outside the traditional architecture path.
Your website is tanglewoodconservatories.com.
That's correct.
You're on social media, Twitter at TW Conservatory, Facebook.com/Tanglewood Conservatories, and you're on LinkedIn as well. And we'll have all those links in the show notes. Before we wrap up, Alan, I want to ask you the same question I ask all my guests. I want to ask, what is one thing that a small firm architect can do today and build a better business for tomorrow? Something that they can do sort of actionable now and see result in the near future?
I would say don't try to be Frank Lloyd Wright. And by that, I mean bring in the experts early. Don't think that you can do everything that yourself. The world has changed. Buildings are much, much more complicated. And business is much, much more complicated. So whether it's on the technical side, you know, bring in somebody who understands glazing systems, or in our case, conservatories, and can really help push that forward on the technical side, or whether it's on the business side, reach out and get the help early that you need. We've got a very, very high-powered and very active advisory board. I've got business mentors. We bring in regularly people to assist our sales team, our HR team, our engineering team. I recognize that by myself, I've got limited capabilities, and I know that if I'm going to grow a successful business, I've got to bring in a lot of people with a lot of experience to help me do that.
Yeah, but you have to build a team. It's difficult to reach the success of our dreams if we're trying to do it all by ourselves.
Yep.
Thanks for spending some time with me today here, Alan, and sharing your knowledge here at the Entree Architect Podcast. Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode156. And don't forget to visit the website at entrearchitect.com to gain access to our digital course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, and learn how to build a powerful profit plan that will work for your small firm. Visit entrearchitect.com/free course to go directly there. Hundreds of your fellow architects have already taken this course. It's a great place to start building a better business, and it's free. entrearchitect.com/free course. Go sign up right now. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. And I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Those are the things you need to know. Those are the only three things you need to know in this world, in this world we're living in right now of craziness. I don't even want to get into that. Just love, learn, and share. And the world will get better. I promise. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And Brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England is diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.